Good morning.
Sean, nice to catch up again.
Yes, it's been a while, Tony, and it's good to catch up with you. Thank you for answering the call, what we're here today for.
As always, it's a pleasure and a joy. Now, you came to us, was it 2.5, 3 years ago now, I think, almost, and talking about this group that you'd set up. It was a listening group, quite unique, certainly for the local area. It's blossomed, hasn't it?
It's blossomed very well, yeah. We've got men percentages just increasing every month now. Men are finding us, they're hearing about us. And we are working through that. And with that, we're looking at, we're kind of taking men from the depths of being in a dark place to empowering them to kind of be part of our circles, in fact, lead our circles. And obviously to talk about today is for our men who we've worked with and empowered to then step across to mentor, younger men. And that's the kind of model I've been kind of working on. So, men who just want support and that's all they want can get that from us with our services and what we offer. But also there is an angle where if men think, you know what, I want to give back to the community and I don't know how to do that, we've now got a nice offering via another charity.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken with one or two of the people who have attended some of your sessions, and they've certainly, what's the word I'm looking for, turned the page almost and taken up the offer to sort of give a little bit back and help. But we're going to be talking about knife crime this morning, which for me, there's always a thing you read about in the paper, and so-and-so's got a knife, so-and-so's got a knife, or you see these reports that young men feel they've got to go out carrying a knife. But it's always been the thing that was always either in London or one of the major northern cities. It's creeping closer, though, into places like Crawley, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, in every town, even in villages, you can see it on your local news and your media services that, knife crime now is becoming a real problem. When you're hearing of young men, younger than 15, who are, involved in knife crime, and you hear of fatalities, it has to stop. And for us in Crawley, it's there. We hear about it, but as you know, it brings that sadness and it brings that devastation, not only to the families in Crawley, but obviously to the community itself, because people start to worry more and start to be looking over their shoulder more or judging that all youths are the same, we feel that there's a service here that we can work towards where we can get these young men in the communities to put down the knife or be even prior to that, not to join any kind of gangs or be part of any groups where they'll get involved in knife crime. Well, we can give them an option to actually show them there's a different way of getting into a way of normal life, jobs, I mean, family and success.
Yeah, the thing here is, Men Share itself is a listening group. I know it's actually open to anybody over the age of 18, but I would guess predominantly you're talking men of a slightly older age, from probably, 30 upwards, because the young men tend not to be too vocal in their thoughts. And when you see interviews with young men who've, taken up the knife and decided to carry it, despite all of the warnings of please don't carry knives, it's wrong to carry knives and all that sort of thing. They take them, they have them with them, they carry them because they feel they need to do so. Well, so-and-so's got one, so I need one just to keep safe. It's a frightening thing, but how do you get young men with that frame of mind to actually open up and start talking about it?
Well, I think...
Jason, yeah.
So I think the key thing here is to try and get to them while they're younger. So we're working towards with the idea of working with younger people, as Sean mentioned earlier. Yeah. And we also have people that go into the custody suite at the police station.
Yeah.
And they regularly see young people that have been arrested for carrying knives and weapons. And from the feedback that I've been getting from these younger people, some of them say they carry it due to fear. They're worried about themselves being attacked, so they carry it. And they might even inadvertently actually use that weapon, and that will have a devastating consequence on whole families and communities.
Yeah, it's a shocking thing. Now, you work for an organisation called a Band of Brothers, which deals with this kind of thing. What's that all about?
So a Band of Brothers is an organisation that supports young men that are in or have been in the criminal justice system or are at risk of committing crimes. And quite often these young men have come from broken families, they've failed at school, they've ended up in the care system. And some of them have actually been abused by people that are supposed to love and care for them. And so now they're angry and resentful, and they don't really know how to deal with their anger. And so often they turn to violence. And this violence can also be self-destructive violence on themselves through taking drugs, alcohol. And they start to get involved in knife crime or different types of gangs. And what we do is we offer them a community of older men who have done enough inner work to be able to model what it is to be a mature man. So we provide them with a community, and we've got communities up and down the country with mentors that have done a lot of work on themselves, and they've gone through a very supportive training program that is continuous, and we're supported by other old men who can show us the way and share their experiences with us. So I can talk about a little bit about where our mentors come from. So some of our mentors come from all walks of life. You know, it could be a plumber, a builder, a doctor, an office worker, and even some ex-prisoners. You know, they've been through that system themselves, so they've got first-hand experience. And with their life experiences, they can bring that into our community, bring it into our circle, and we can explore some of the ways that they've learned to change their lives and model what it is, the kind of man that we need to aim to be.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, say, they've got to have done something to have arrived in the custody suite in the first place. Are there any other ways that you could actually get the attention of young men before it gets that far?
Yeah, so we quite often we get referrals from other young men who've been through our system. We take them through a mentoring process, take them through a rites of passage, and that is we use our unique mentoring techniques to help these men to change. You know, often you might have somebody who's a parent, they might be 35 years old and they have a 15-year-old, 16, 17, 18-year-old son that needs support.
Yeah.
So we offer that to them. We can support people over 18.
Yeah, do you actually get into the any of the education places, the schools or the further education colleges? Because the problems don't just affect those to a certain end of society. It spreads right the way through, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've been to a couple of schools and I've been in on the headmaster's meeting, and we've discussed ways that we can try and reduce crime with younger people. Sean has also invited me through MenShare, and we went into Camellia Botner School and ran a one-day workshop there. Sean might be able to tell you a little bit more about that.
We went to Camellia Botner, which is a school down in Sussex, which holds young people from all different walks of life all around the country. And me, Jason, went in there with David, and we did a workshop, and putting these young people in a circle really made them feel like out of sorts, because it's something they're not used to. And we talked about ourselves, we talked about how what we've seen, like our experiences with young people, and how lives can be destroyed by the wrong decisions and things like that. And in the end, these young people started asking lots of questions. They started to learn like new techniques. And when we left, and this was the mind-blowing thing for us, and these were like, you know, 14, 15-year-olds. When we left, they waited behind. And once we left, they came up to us and said, thank you for coming today, because you've made a real difference. And that, I mean, as a grown man, I welled up a little bit. I thought, wow. And Jason, you know, said like he had like kind of goosebumps. And that made it worthwhile by just going there to have the opportunity to speak to the youth. And if we can do it with those young people, I know that there's going to be a I think obviously what we're looking at working on of reaching the youth, so that then the MenShare might never exist in the future because they won't need it. If you know what I mean. So,
well,
you
know, hopefully it goes a little bit beyond just crime and knife crime, but. It's nice to hear that, but the thing that's coming across to me from all of this, from talking to both of you this morning, is the fact that a one-size-fits-all type of society that we tend to have these days is not necessarily good for the individual. And it would seem that some of these young people just need a little more of attention rather than just, oh, well, you got to do this or you got to do that because that's how we do it. Would you think that's about right?
Yeah. Oh, you know, when we went into this Camellia Botanist course, yeah. So they do they run apprenticeships for young people, probably between 16 and 21. And so quite often these young people have been thrown out of home or have been loosely involved in the criminal justice system, and they're given this opportunity to go to that school. So when we first started running, that circle, some of them started sniggling at our stories and things like that.
Mm.
But then as soon as we set the bar high and we said, we're going to speak to you as fellow adults, and we understand that you feel uncomfortable, you might sniggle, you might laugh, but we're going to speak to you as an equal. And from that point, the game was raised, and then they were more mature in the way they interacted with us.
Yeah, because you're not talking down to them, are you? That's exactly the thing, yeah.
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 And Sean brought David along, who's had experiences of the justice system, and he shared some of those experiences, and it was very, very impactful.
Mm, yeah, Sean does some great work with Menshare. Now, I've got to talk to you, Jason, about Band of Brothers, because it's not a local organisation, is it? It's a national thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we've got 11 communities up and down the country, and we have the similar format of how we run our evenings. We usually meet once a week, and then we have every 6 months, we have a rites of passage weekend, where different communities get together, and we send young men and older men, because we have to go through the same processes, yeah, if you want to be a mentor, and we send them away on a rites of passage. And it's an opportunity for self-healing and self-reflection. And it can be challenging, but we build that up slowly. And we're supported by lots of men that have done that type of work themselves, been through those processes. And a rites of passage are very, very important for us, because we don't have that. So a rites of passage is a significant ceremony or ritual marking an important change in someone's life. So this could be a birth, a death, a marriage. Mm. But in our case, it's the transition from being a boy to a man. Mm. So we want to mark that, but we don't want to give it away as an easy gift. Some work needs to be done, and that's the inner work. So in Indigenous cultures, young men are taken away from their villages, their tribe and their mother, and they're sent out into wilderness. This is called the separation. They're separated from the world that they usually live in. And they're separated, and they, during this time, they have to do some work. And some of it is very, very challenging. We take the young men away from their communities. So their communities could be broken families, arguments, drug dealers, gangs, violence. We take them away, we separate them from that, as they do in Indigenous cultures.
Mm.
And during this time, they're in a state of flux. They're not a member of our community. They're not a member of the village yet. They're neither a boy or a man during this stage. And while they're doing that work, they're looking at themselves and looking ahead to the future. At the end of the weekend, we then invite them to our circle. So this is the reintegration. So in Indigenous cultures, when they go back to the tribe, something's changed. They're no longer considered to be a boy, but they are considered to be a man. And with that come certain responsibilities and expectations. So we invite those young men to our weekly circle, where we continue a further 3 months of community mentoring with these young men and older men. And we can, and at the end of that, we have a graduation.
Yeah. Now, for these young men to go through all of this, I'm guessing that, you know, they've got to want to do it. It's a bit like giving up smoking, I suppose. If you want to stop smoking, you've really got to want to do it. There's got to be a lot of willpower there. You said that fairly early on that a lot of the young men that come to you come from places like police cells and stuff, for all sorts of various different reasons. How difficult is it in the first place to persuade them that what you're offering them is a better than the life they seem to be headed for?
So what we do is we initially we invite them. We ask them, are you willing to receive a phone call? then we have an initial chat with them, and then we invite them to one of our, what we call an engagement circle or an introduction circle. And then they can get an opportunity to see how we do our work. And that's a bit of an icebreaker for us. And people share their experiences during that, in that circle. And by the end of it, sometimes some of these people are in tears. You know, some of them, it's the first time that they've been heard. But it's quite often these young people might not have a voice, you know. Yeah. So they learn to... Often, sometimes they don't return, but often they do. And if they're willing to follow the processes, we assign them a mentor, and they meet on a one-to-one basis for an hour a week, and they work through some of the subjects. They get used to talking about things that they're struggling with. It might be violence, crime, addiction, home life, relationships.
Yeah.
And so during this process, they get used to their mentor as well. And there's a sort of a relationship that's kind of built up there of trust. And that's when we invite them to the Rites of Passage weekend.
Yeah.
And usually by then, they're committed because they can see they can get something out of it.
Well, I can see how the two organisations could work quite well together in this one. Sean with Menshare, obviously, and then you with the Band of Brothers. Anybody that has any thoughts on this, if you've got a young person in your family that seems to be maybe taking the slightly wrong turn, bandofbrothers.org.uk is the website. If I'm right, that right, Jason?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
And also you'll find out a local contact there. You'll probably see my telephone number there, mm-hmm. and you can call me. We can have an initial chat, and we can see if we can work together.
Okay.
And the key thing recently with working with Sean from Menshare, he was with a Band of Brothers for about 10 years, and through Sean, some men have got started to go to his circle, and they've been there for a while, perhaps a year, and done some work on themselves, and he's prepared them to be mentors for us. So we're building up a really strong relationship locally here in Crawley, and we hope to carry on with that.
Well, it's nice to note that you know, organisations are sort of sharing details and sort of getting together and collaborating a bit. I know Sean's done a fabulous job with Menshare over the last couple of years, and it's grown to an enormous amount, hasn't it, Sean?
It has, yeah. And I would like to say, you know, it was for the right reasons in the sense of what we've, you know, for the men who come to us. But we're there and we'll continue to be there as well. And we're always looking at opportunities to work with other organisations as well. I'd like to kind of make a shout out as well, because we are on the Surrey side of things. I'm connecting to Fight or Flight men's group. They do like boxing and nature walks, and there's a guy called Dean Burtonshaw.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous, he's a young man who's been through a lot, and he's taken up his time like me to set something up for the future, and he wants to collaborate. So you might see a hat trick of organisations here where we're working together to serve the youth, you know, the men in total, and mirror that in other areas to you know, I mean, to make a real change, and it's needed.
Well, I hope you'll come back to us when all that comes to fruition, Sean. But for now, we're amazing how the time goes. We are out of time. It's menshare.org.uk, Menshare Listening Group, beg your pardon, .co.uk. I will get that web address correct. And it's abandofbrothers.org.uk for Jason's organisation there. So, gentlemen, thank you for talking to us. Wish you every success with this collaboration. And hopefully you'll both come back at some point and sort of fill us in a bit more. But for now, Sean and Jason, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care of yourself. Thanks for letting us come on.
Pleasure.